Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, the one and only, I'm pretty sure, TV and film podcast that brings you the best, the brightest, the strangest films and TV shows available to stream right from your home in an ocean of streaming networks vying for your attention. We are your lighthouse, your beacons of broadcast, your curators of content.
The content is here. We have found it for you.
Be served. So tonight's episode, we got a something sort of special planned for you. We're just going to riff a little bit. We've got a robust crossing stream segment. I've watched a bunch of stuff that I'm really, really passionate about. I saw some really fucking good movies. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that. The other day was Stranger Things Day, which
November 6th.
Longtime fans of our podcast will know that despite there not having been a Stranger Things episode for 2.5 years, we're actually a Stranger Things podcast.
Indeed.
In the beginning. Can't believe it's been that long.
Has it really been that long?
July 4th, 2019 was when season 3 dropped.
Wow.
So
blows my mind.
We have been a Stranger Things podcast without Stranger Things for some years now. And I think we've done well. We've kind of found our own footing finally, right?
Yeah, we've carved out our own little identity separate from the kids at Hawkins, Indiana.
A niche, if you will.
I pronounce it niche.
Really? That's
nice.
No.
Nice. There's a niche crowd, I think, out there.
But I've heard niche. Yeah.
I'm a niche guy.
It's Nietzsche.
And that's true.
Right?
I've heard other people say that word, and I think that's what they were referring to.
For sure.
Is how to pronounce niche. Anywho.
Is that the famous philosopher Nietzsche?
Yeah.
Nietzsche.
It's a new character introduced in season 4.
So we're just here to celebrate Stranger Things Day and talk about the wonderful films and TV shows we've been watching. Feel free to write into us anytime at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. That's streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Here in a little while, I'm going to read an email from a lovely listener that we got earlier. You can also subscribe to us on Patreon for extra episodes and just to show your support at patreon.com/streamingthings. That's patreon.com/streamingthings. And here, very special guest in honor of Stranger Things Day, we've invited Dr. Brenner himself to thank our current Patreon subscribers.
What am I doing here?
So I've given you just pay attention.
I'm Dr. Brenner. Hello.
I paid you $20.
Have I experimented on either of you before?
I don't think so.
Unfortunate.
I gave you a list of names, and all I wanted you to do was read them and thank them for their patronage.
Are these people special? Do they have abilities?
They're very special to us.
So many superpowers.
Oh.
One of them does. Her name is, you'll see. You'll know which one's special when you read it.
Mm. Interesting. Okay, let me put on my bifocals here.
Okay.
Phil. It says to thank Phil. I think he's a terrible wound. Also, thank you, Carmelita. You would be number one in my menagerie of children. thank you to Carrie. I'll give you, what's greater than one?
Two.
I don't think you know math, young man. thank you to Enza. I just thank you. You're great. I don't, your name makes me think of torturing more children. Thank you, Cake.
That's the special one.
I have to get my hands on your brain, Cake.
We love Cake.
Does she have psychological abilities to make you love her?
We think that she does. It's a sweet superpower.
Oh, a young man, I know that very well. Very well indeed. Katie, thank you so much. I'm going to give you the number purple. Think about it. Just think about it.
Wow.
Yes.
Thanks, Dr. Brenner. That's
this
generous.
This guy gets it.
Yeah, I do.
I would like to thank Daniel. Hopefully you're not anything like the Demogorgon. That also begins with a D, because I don't like that Demogorgon. Some of you might be wondering where I've been since season one when I ran into Daniel the Demogorgon.
Yeah.
Will you find out next season? I'll never tell.
We'll eventually tell.
Thank you to Jimmy. Oh, Jimbone. He's the best. I assume. I've never met the man. And lastly, I'd like to thank our brand new Patreon member. I don't know why I said our. I'm not in this podcast. I just like the vibe. I want to associate myself with it.
We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. But we're also happy to have Sarah. Thank you for your contribution. Now, if you don't mind, I have children to torture in the other room.
Dr. Brenner, we know that you're busy. Thank you so much for stopping in honor of Stranger Things Day to thank our patrons. So
you're welcome.
Just journey on back to your lab now or wherever you're at.
Bye.
Real quick, before you go, though.
I'm back.
I heard that you have a killer Billie Eilish cover that you wanted to sing for us.
Yes, drop a beat for me.
Boom, ba-ch, boom, boom, ba-ch. Boom,
I am
boom,
the bad boom, guy.
Boom, boom. That's apropos. Thank you. We got to get moving on now, though. Thank you, Dr. Brenner.
Bye.
Hop.
Sorry.
Oh, no. Is she here, too? Winona, where have you been?
Hop. 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 Cigarettes.
I don't know. That's
I cannot wait till Stranger Things season 4 comes out, man.
I am so excited. That new trailer, which I couldn't help but watch, was actually very well done. Didn't give a whole lot away. Not that I needed any enticement, right?
It was like a little double trailer. It was fucking solid. The first one was like all happy-go-lucky. Oh, look at Eleven. She's doing school things out in
California. John Hughes things.
John Hughes things. And then we get the boys, basically the Hardy boys now is what they seem like.
They're up to no good.
Out here quoting Sherlock and stuff. And there's a big clock. The old clock just goes boom.
I will venture to say, this is my prediction here and now on November, whatever the audience thinks it is.
Write it down.
2021. Yeah, you could take this to the fucking bank. Stranger Things season 4 is going to be the best season ever.
Hot damn. That is fighting words.
It is.
Ooh.
And here's my theory, right? Season 1, phenomenal. Season 2, wonderful. Season 3, out of this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've had years now to perfect upon the writing for season 4, right? And the Duffer brothers themselves say, hey, we'll take this, not to put any, good spin on COVID, right? But it's actually given us the time to know for sure where we're going, how to end the entire series for the next couple of seasons. We're very excited. So,
have they set a date for how many seasons they're doing?
I don't think so. I mean, my brain says 5, but I could have easily made that up.
Okay.
Can I voice a concern that I have for season 4?
Sir, this is a safe place.
Yeah.
You can speak your mind.
So, are we agreed that Millie Bobby Brown is not the best actress?
I mean, no.
We're not agreed. Okay. So you thought
she was great in Godzilla.
That's not fair.
No one was great in Godzilla. Not even the CGI monster Godzilla was great in Godzilla.
I mean, she really hasn't done much with these awful scripts. I'm starting to doubt her.
So all I was going to say is that so far in her career, which is very young, and she's a child actress.
Absolutely.
She has not been great in much outside of Stranger Things.
Uh-huh. She certainly hasn't found success outside the show.
And so I'm concerned that the more articulate Eleven becomes, the more her acting her chops flaws are going to show compared to like the guy that plays Will, Noah Schnapp. That dude shits all over everybody.
What has he been in though? Like, I feel like of all the Stranger Things kids, the kid who plays Mike is Finn Wolfhard is the only one that I see regularly get work for. You know, I don't want to say front runner.
Him and Gaten Matarazzo has had that like prank show on Netflix for like five seasons. And
so Will Schnapp had his big breakout in Bridge of Spies. So, I mean, starting out with Steven Spielberg's pretty fucking huge.
Well, yeah, he's the powerhouse of Stranger Things for sure. He's the best of all the kid actors.
I think he was the voice of Charlie Brown in the Peanuts movie. That's pretty big.
And he already had a good career, but I think David Harbour has probably capitalized second most off of
I was mostly focused on the kids.
Yeah. I'm going to say it now too. I think that Winona Ryder lady's got a career ahead of her.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
As long as she pays for the things that she goes to stores to get.
Strange reference. No, I can understand that. And, you know, for telling the truth about your opinion here as well, because after all, friends don't lie. And that has been our motto here. Our mantra here at Streaming Things, for sure. Friends don't lie.
Big facts. I don't know how they're ever going to top the never-ending story sequence from season three, though.
That was so good. Like, whenever a beloved TV show can nail like a random musical number, I've talked about it before, The Magicians, you guys got to get into it. If you're ever like, I don't know, have the flu and find yourself unemployed and you just want to binge a show.
It's a very specific set of things to happen.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. And I watched all of The Magicians.
If you're unemployed and you get the flu, this show is for you.
I'm saying, write into streamingthingspod@gmail.com. If you know and love The Magicians, where are you at? I know you got to be out there.
Magician.
There's not too many of you because it got canceled.
Wizards and Witches, rise up.
I mean, I watched the first couple episodes for this show.
That's
and it
right.
was solid.
Yeah.
I do want to mention before we move on, I don't know how much time we're devoting to the Stranger Things talk, but before we move on, I did want to mention there was a reoccurring joke on this podcast about the show where it was like, where is everyone's house in relationship to one another? Because
everything is 5 minutes from Mike's house.
Yes. Everything is 5 minutes from Mike's house. Barb literally probably got killed like within sight of Mike's house. But then today, Andy messaged us on our group chat like, hey, they released a map of Hawkins. And I got immediately excited. Like the rumor mill, the discussion, the discourse can finally be put to bed. We will know geographically where is Mike's house and why is it the center of Hawkins? And I looked at this map. And this map does not help at all. It is an artistic rendering. It's like a stylized map where it's not meant to be realistic at all. And I was so mad. I'm like, I'm looking at a map of Hawkins, but there's Chicago right there.
Right. Hawkins borders Russia, apparently.
Yeah. but it was, it was a really good drawing.
I can see Russia from my porch.
It's landlocked, nestled in between Russia and California right there, Hawkins.
Sarah Palin lives in Hawkins. You heard it here third.
Yeah. It was a fun little map because it brought me back memories of like, oh yeah, I remember when they went to that place. Oh, I forgot about the weird junkyard. They were like held up in the school bus when the Demodogs were hunting them. Yeah, it was a nice little trip down memory lane.
It's when they bust out the bat, right?
Yeah.
For round two.
I'm really excited for the inevitable early 2022 Stranger Things rewatch again, right? I get to watch all three seasons, brush up on my expertise.
We have to plan on, I assume we're going to be re-releasing those episodes in the future when it comes closer to Stranger Things 4. But yeah, we'll have to
do a big recap celebration as well. Maybe not individual like we used to, like season one, but just do a first three seasons party where we, at the end of all that, we all talk.
A party?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We could have Stranger Things, like
snacks.
Demodorgon deviled eggs and I don't know.
I love that deviled eggs is where you went with.
Well, he's devilish.
Bob Newby Nilla wafers.
Demo hot dogs. And we just have tiny little
Millie Bobby hot browns. Boom.
Yes. We're in Kentucky. It has to happen. Yes. Millie Bobby hot browns.
That's pretty good.
Hey, you.
Damn, man. Head. It was pretty good. My brain is honestly, to be honest with you guys, I'm scrambling for another Stranger Things food pun and just not. You guys can drink beer with lots of hops.
Hops.
Mike and Ike's.
Oh, we got to have coffee and contemplation as a breakfast.
We'll have to have Murray Bauman's corn dogs.
Oh, what are the slushy for the Russian guys? Slushies?
Oh, yeah.
Cherry or something.
Yeah. What was that guy's name? Strawberry.
We're losing all the non-Stranger Things fans right now.
They're all like, I never watched slushies. The show.
Fuck them.
This podcast is going way downhill since the Spawn episode.
They don't know how much we like slushies.
It was a Patreon episode.
That was Inza talking.
That's a fact, though. Like, we don't fuck with movies without slushies, or icies, rather. But
it's true. I get a Coca-Cola icy every time I go to the movie theater. Except I went to Regal Wilder to see Eternals recently, which we'll talk about in a bit. And I had to get a Pepsi icy because that theater fucking
Pepsi has icies?
It's not good. It's not worth it.
Did they have a Mountain Dew icy that you could have done instead?
Yes.
Oh, that would have been. Those are pretty good.
I don't drink Mountain Dew because it makes me feel racist.
I feel it. That's why I quit. Actually. That's why I don't eat white chocolate for that same reason.
Right. It's just like, what am I doing right now?
I'm almost 3 years sober of Mountain Dew, so I get it.
Wow.
Yeah. Some listeners might be laughing, but that actually is a really big deal for me.
One day at a time, my friend. Yeah. One day at a time.
I appreciate your sobriety from Mountain Dew, my friend. Yeah. I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and get into our Crossing Stream segment. How about that? Crossing Streams is the segment where each week we delve into the TV and film properties that we've been watching since last we met. And we do it all sexy. Hey, can't help it.
Have you been on Tubi?
Tubi. How about Mubi? Andy, let's throw it to you.
Hey, Crunchy. Buddy.
What have you been up to, digitally speaking, since last we met?
So,
Peacock.
Do you guys remember a tiny little super underappreciated film that came out in 2003 starring Jack Black, the evil stepsister of Jack White, School of Rock?
Of course. That's a classic.
That's a classic. Do you know who the fuck directed that?
I used to know,
Richard Linklater directed it.
Oh.
What the fuck?
You didn't know that, bro?
No, I didn't know that.
I'm flexing my knowledge right now.
He flexed all over us, man.
Did you see me very hesitantly suggest Linklater like a boss just now?
Pretty solid. But yeah, stars Jack Black and a bunch of kids. And Joan Cusack, the underrated best Cusack, actually.
Joan is a good Cusack.
One of the kids' names is Divka Reyes. I know that because she resurfaced as a TikTok celebrity recently to me.
I think, didn't one of the kids pass away last month?
Oh, brutal.
I think the drummer got in a,
I think you're right.
Was in a car accident and passed away, unfortunately.
That is correct.
Oh, that's really, really
sorry
sad.
To slow that old I know that train
two,
down.
Two of them got married, like one of the girls that was the backup, one of the backup dancer singers, and another one of the kids. Like, they met again years later.
At the School of Rock reunion party?
Sleepless in School of Rock kind of sitch going on. It was pretty cool.
Good. You've got School of Rock?
You've got School of Rock.
What are some other Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks romance?
That's it.
Would you be my name?
Would you be my School of Rock?
Castaway of Rock.
School of Rock Atlas.
Streamable on Netflix. So much better than I expected it to be on rewatch.
Saving Private School of Rock.
I like had kind of semi-dreaded going back to this film.
Why were you dreading it? Walk me through
that. Because I loved the shit out of it back in the day. And I remember watching it at the Wilder Cinema that Chris was just talking about, that he went to see Eternals at many, many, many years ago. One might say 19 years ago when the movie came out.
Is that how long it's been?
Yes.
I mean, that makes sense, but still, that
Jack Black has not aged a day since then. He just grew a beard. But anyway, I saw it in like this double feature thing, and I can't even remember what the other movie was, but it was a big deal for me at the time to get to go to a double feature and get to see School of Rock, because at the time I modeled my life after Jack Black. Tenacious D was the greatest band of all time for about like 3 months during the summer of 2002. And so anyway, I had been dreading going back to watching School of Rock because I thought that it was ultimately going to be a, childish kids film.
It's kind of like a Never Meet Your Heroes scenario. Is
for
that what you're
saying? For sure. Never watch School of Rock second time.
No. Still slaps.
Yeah.
There was a time where that movie was like the DVD of School of Rock was a consistent rewatched disc in my household. Such a good movie. I haven't seen it in probably 10 years, but I have very, very fond memories of that movie.
Yeah, it's great. It's super good. Sarah Silverman is in it and super underutilized, which is a massive bummer. because that was just like it. Hey, you got a named speaking role. Good for you, up and coming actor, comic. And now she, you know, went on to have her own show, and you know, she's Sarah Silverman. But in that, she's just like the bitchy girlfriend.
But she does it so well.
Yeah, she does it wonderfully. But anyway, yeah, School of Rock is fucking badass. And plus the fact that it was Linklater, that blew my fucking mind. So then I also watched, I kind of went through like a early to mid 2000s comedy renaissance.
Were you high?
Over the past few days? No. Hmm. I don't smoke weed.
I know, but it's always like funny it. To ask that when you watch mid 2000s comedies.
I watched, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Andy, but the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is playing in your other room, and there's a close-up of one of the turtles, and it is a horrifying experience. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry about that. Who watches these movies?
I've just had
that Splinter. What the fuck is that? Why is it happening? Kill it.
I've had movies playing in my living room for a while, and just music going, and something. What was the whitewashing scandal movie with Scarlett Johansson that came out a few years ago?
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell was playing, and there was like Bon Iver on or something, and it like seemed like a music video, like the weirdest.
It's Bon Iver.
Skinny Love. Right,
that's a good song.
But so anyway, that was playing, and that movie was on, and I was like, this is the most fucked up music video ever. And so I just let it go. And so I turned off the music when we started doing the podcast, but I was having a grand old time, just like, what the fuck's gonna come on next? We're watching Ghost in the Shell.
Random audio and visuals, right? Part 3. That's a fun game to play.
Why is Megatron attacking Splinter?
God damn it, focus, Steve.
I'm so sorry. So he's got an 80 against TV, all right? It's hard not to see.
So the next mid to late 2000s, 2010s comedy that I watched was a little film called Hall Pass, directed with by the, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Chase and Sudeikis?
Farrelly Brothers?
That's actually on my watch list to watch when my wife's high.
Yes, with Jason Sudeikis, Owen Wilson. Has Jenna Fisher of The Office fame. Very, very tan Jenna Fisher. It makes me uncomfortable. She's like, has this.
She's famously pale.
Awful, awful spray tan. It's distracting. And then Christina Applegate. Had fun with it. Wildly, wildly predictable. Jason Sudeikis is a gem, and Owen Wilson is predictable. And I'm
take that back. I like Owen Wilson is a gem.
I like him more in weird roles. When he's just like the do-gooder, like, oh, I have a funny way of talking guy.
Whoa, that was a great Owen Wilson.
Thanks, man.
Wow.
No, yeah, I like him better when like he's like in a Wes Anderson movie or something, when he gets to get weird with it. Because he is so easily typecast as just like the guy that the hard luck guy, you know what I mean? I don't know how better to
slubby
describe it.
Heart of gold. Mm-hmm, dude.
Exactly. And so I like it when I get to see him have fun, and I didn't get that much in this film, but Jason Sudeikis fucking killed it in this movie. And I had a lot of fun with that. Also, Christina Applegate was really good. She's had like great. This little moment in, like after Anchorman where she was in a bunch of things. And I wish that was continuing because she is wonderful.
She has such an interesting career because she's always been great, but you're right. Like, I feel like she doesn't have that level of success that I feel like she's deserved of.
Right.
That new show she had, I think there's 2 seasons of it, went super viral. I mean, people love that show. I didn't watch it, but my wife loves it. Dead Like Me or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I do. I love that show. Yeah, I've seen that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Dead to Me. Yeah, I've seen the first season of that, and that's a really good show.
But so like, as far as like Farrelly Brothers, who are wonderful comic directors, like does not live up to Dumb and Dumber or Me, Myself and Irene. But it's still, I had a whole lot of fun with it. And then after that, I watched. And that's streamable also on Netflix. School of Rock and Hall Pass, both on Netflix. And then I watched a little film a little bit more recently. Or a little bit more recent release, or maybe not. Horrible Bosses.
Oh shit!
Oh, you know what? They came out the same year. Yeah. It was the Sudeikisons.
Yeah. Horrible Bosses is great.
Horrible Bosses,
so good.
I had never seen it. It was kind of a big miss for me because I love the fuck out of Always Sunny, and so like Charlie Day to me is like anything he does on screen is immediately going to be enjoyable to me, and somehow I never watched Horrible Bosses, and this movie is fucking stacked, my dude. It has Listen to this. Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, Jason Sudeikis in the Sudeikisons, Colin Farrell, Jennifer Aniston, Donald Sutherland, Jamie Foxx, and Kevin Spacey.
with an appropriate role
so
this time.
Good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fitting. Although Jennifer Aniston's the one that's sexually assaulting people in this film. But,
man. And she's having a blast, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude.
She, you can tell she's having fun.
Eating like, roll up.
I don't get to play, quote unquote, bad guys very much.
Right, right, right.
And she was having so much fun in that role.
It's like Owen Wilson, man. When she gets to do more interesting things, she's wonderful.
Yeah. And,
but, you know, I don't give a fuck about Friends or any of the Adam Sandler comedies that she was a part of. Like,
I just heard half of our listeners tune out.
Yeah, the gas
doesn't give a fuck about Friends. Sorry, but yeah, so directed by Seth Gordon, who is famous for horrible bosses. Pretty much, he's done a bunch of TV. He's directed a bunch of episodes of like The Office and Parks and Rec. He wasn't like creator or anything. For All Mankind, the space race TV show that I talked about a few episodes back. Wonderful Apple TV Plus show. He's directed a few episodes of that. But yeah, not a huge film presence, but honestly, fucking killed it. This movie was fantastic. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah, that movie's really good.
Mm-hmm. Super duper funny. But yeah, that's most of what I've been streaming.
Steve, what have you been up to, buddy?
All right, I got three movies to talk about this week. These are brand new films. You can't stream any of them yet. They're still in theaters. I got that A-list Stubbs pass back, baby, and I'm using it.
It's in my entourage, or I'm in his. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. We're all in each other's.
Hey,
actually, it says you haven't confirmed my entourage membership.
You got to send me an invite, don't you?
No, I don't think so.
I thought you texted to me.
Who's Maybe. To say? Who's That's to okay. say?
He doesn't want to be in my entourage.
I'm
fine.
Better than that.
It's fine.
So first off, because I know Chris has seen a couple of these movies as well, so I'll start talking about the one that I don't think Chris has seen, and that is a movie called Antlers.
Oh, shit.
If you don't know what that movie is about, IMDb has a synopsis, which is an isolated Oregon town, a middle school teacher and her sheriff brother become embroiled with their enigmatic student, whose dark secrets lead to terrifying encounters with an ancestral creature. Gasp. So I was really, really excited about this movie in terms of like how much I can get excited for a horror film, because I really, really love good creature movies, you know, like if it's a really cool monster movie, like I can get behind that. And something about in the trailer of the movie, you only get brief glimpses of the creature's design. And to me, it was evoking. Did you guys ever watch The Ritual, which you can stream on Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah, Andy Excellent. Recommended that to me. It's wonderful.
Love that movie. And I think the creature design in that movie is like top notch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, if you can give me just a little bit of that creature's movie magic into this, I'm good. Fortunately, they did. They nail the creature design. The creature design in this movie is fan-fucking-tastic. They even use animatronics and like
oh, cool.
practical looking use with it. The downside is the rest of the movie blows. it's this weird thing where
can't have everything,
right? You know, I mean, you know, the director, his name is Scott Cooper. He's actually pretty. You know, he's got a lot of good movies.
Is that Cooper's boy? It's old man boy. Cooper's boy, right?
Who's old man Cooper? What do you mean by old man Cooper? Bradley Cooper? No, but he's directed like Crazy Heart, Out of the Furnace, Black Mass, Hostels. I don't know if you guys have seen any of those movies.
Hostel?
Black Hostels. Mass, the Johnny Depp movie?
What? Is that like Black Mass, the Johnny Depp movie? Yes. Crazy
I
Heart.
I have seen that.
Bridges
I've seen
movie.
Black Mass. That was pretty good, actually.
I've seen Hostels, the Christian Bale movie. That is pretty good as well. But this movie just isn't. Like, you can tell... you can tell he's trying to go for, like, a greater meaning in this
You were really
movie.
Excited about this, too.
I was. Like,
why? You're not, like, the biggest horror guy.
Well, like I said...
I'm like, just horror.
Well, like I said, I'm really into, like, a creature design, and I thought, like, oh, that's going to be a cool-looking creature. It looks like a thinking man's horror movie based off the trailer. Like, I think I can get behind this. And there... An attempt is definitely being made to be a thinking person's horror film, because there's definitely, he's trying to throw in a lot of metaphor about drug addiction and the opioid epidemic and how it can affect a small town like this. However, the unfortunate thing is like a lot of this movie relies on telling, not showing, but then also not making connections where connections need to be made. So the whole like reason this story even starts with this monster isn't super well explained. Like, wait, why is this happening now? It just, it raises a lot of questions that never get answered. So they raise a bunch of questions the first moment of the movie. That move questions never answered the whole movie. And then a lot of the, like, boy, the opioid epidemic sure is wrecking our town. That's the explanation of it. It's just characters. Jesse Plemons plays Carrie Russell's brother, and he's the sheriff. And it's a lot of like, man, this town isn't the same as it was when I grew up. Yeah, the opioid epidemic is really hurting us here.
Anyway, monster.
But you never really see that other than maybe every now and then, like, oh, this Oregon town looks dreary. Well, yeah, it's fucking Oregon. You know what I mean? So
the monster is somehow supposed to be a metaphor for opioid abuse?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know how much spoiler-wise I can get with it, but the monster has to deal with, like, this hunger of needing to feed on meat and, like, you can't control your body and that type of thing.
Can't jerk off either. You never get off.
No, yeah, it's why he's so angry.
Yeah. And you don't eat, actually, but, you know, they obviously this...
Candy.
Coop has not, doesn't know shit about opioid addiction if he's thinking that you're hungry.
But, and like, there's also this element of... child abuse and social care happening, because obviously the brunt of the story relies on the young child actor Jeremy T. Thomas, who plays Lucas, and the boy is great. Like, he's a great actor, and a lot of the intrigue I think this movie has is Carrie Russell, who's his teacher, thinking like, I think this boy's being abused at home. He's coming to school looking like super malnourished, and I'm worried about him. How do I go about, you know, navigating this quagmire of this relationship? Nice. Yeah, thank you.
Take that, Phil. Suck it.
Suck it, Phil. How do I...
Dude, he said menagerie earlier, too. He's going hard.
I'm learning good. But I really enjoyed that part of the story. But then maybe, like, towards the end, when the horror aspects of the movie start to ramp up, that's when the movie completely falls apart. And I mean, like, I think, and I know I'm not a big scary movie guy, but I think you guys would back me up if you watched me. There's literally a scene that just repeats itself three times in a row with three different characters, where a character's like, hey, I think something's in here. Ow, I got stabbed. Someone else, hey, I think something's in here. Ow, I too have been stabbed. Hey, are you guys in that room? Oh no, something's about to stab me. And it's like, and that lasts like 10 minutes. And it's like, what are we doing? Stop going into that shed.
Number one rule of really good horror is that the characters make smart choices and have more faith in the audience. And then, because when people are just like falling over, you know, that's old school. That's 70s horror, right? When people are just tripping a lot, you know, that's frustrating.
Oh, my leg hurts now.
But when they're making really good decisions, running away from the monster, whatever it is, that's really engaging horror, I think.
Yeah. And the movie, like, and this is why it's so frustrating, because the movie, when it starts and the first real kind of scary confrontation happens, with Carrie Russell specifically, there's a moment where it's like, oh, thank God. The characters in this movie are smart. This is great. I'm so happy where this is going. And then, like, two scenes later, I'm resisting the urge to yell at the screen. Where it's like, why are you being so fucking stupid? Stop doing that. What are you doing? Oh, okay. And then everyone's an idiot from the rest of the movie. And then lastly, when the movie ends, I mentioned before how, like, something was set up in the beginning that they never even touch on. They do try to explain some elements of what this monster is and why it's occurring, and, you know, the rules of the monster. And then I feel like the last scene of the movie is like, well, you just ignored the rules. Like, that was never brought up. Why is this happening now? Because it did the whole horror thing where it's like, oh, we did the thing, but did we? Is the monster really dead? It does that whole
do we have enough money thing? For a sequel?
Yeah. And it's kind of like, God, stop it. But yeah, so Antlers, not great. Disappointing, sorry to say.
But cool animatronics.
Yeah, the monster's really cool looking.
Might watch it just for that.
Watch it just for that. The next movie I saw it with my dear friend Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting across from me. We got our entourage together. We went to the AMC Newport, and we saw Ridley Scott's The Last Duel.
Oh, shit. You guys got to see that? What?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, hang on. Was that on my birthday?
It was.
It was on your birthday. Happy birthday, buddy. We saw a movie without you.
Awesome.
Andy was busy. Well, just so the listeners don't think it was just us not inviting Andy.
I was seeing how far up my ass I could fit my thumb. Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How far did you get?
Like... a knuckle and a half.
Oh, well, that's better than last year. You're making a
I know, right? 34, things start opening up.
True.
That's the stuff you get to look
for. You're almost to the age where you need to do that.
So. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are we still doctor good back does there? It for me.
Yeah. Got to stretch it out so it's not as painful when the doctor gets in there and fishes around. What is this podcast?
Oh, there's my keys.
Speaking of prostate exams, The Last Duel is a movie by Ridley Scott.
Good segue. Back on track.
Thank you. If you guys haven't really seen any trailers for it, it's basically like a medieval Me Too movement, which is, you know, I think that's a poor description.
Terrible.
Some people are immediately like, have that need. You're like, nah, I don't need my PC culture getting in my movies.
My medieval sword movies.
Medieval peoples. But no, it's really good. I had such a blast with this movie. It stars Matt Damon, Adam Driver, Jodie Comer. Ben Affleck is in, like...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ben Affleck's in a minor role, but it's like, wow, that's the best acting I've seen Ben Affleck do in quite some time.
Strong 25%. Yeah.
Yeah. He's really, really good in the movie. And everyone is, really. I'm so like happy for Jodie Comer, like that. She seems to be just blowing up recently. She's phenomenal in this movie. I'd be interested, Chris, to see what you think of the movie, because I feel like I've been talking too much.
No, you've been talking the exact right amount. You're the Goldilocks of talkers. I loved The Last Duel. It's one of my favorite movies of the year. When I saw the November list, it is not the one that I expected to stand out. And I did my best to see almost all of them. I still haven't seen No Time to Die, which I can watch on Tuesday. The day after this drops, I'll be able to watch it on VOD. But I watched everything else that was released. I'm really proud of myself. And The Last Duel is one of the very best. I think it got
overshadowed.
It was not treated well at the box office, right? I think it lost over $100 million, to my knowledge, right? So completely dismal success. And that's sad because they don't make these kinds of movies anymore, and this is why. And now they're definitely not gonna. But like your mid-tier budget dad movie,
dad medieval
you
movie.
You know, your Gladiators, your Bravehearts, like they don't exist anymore. And this is up there with Braveheart and Gladiator. Like, it is that good.
Oh shit!
With much more of a moral spin, like Steve was saying. You know, it's like if Mel Gibson had a conscience. they would be this movie. No, it's really fucking good. It has a conceit. I think I told you, Andy, a little bit about it, but for listeners at home, without spoiling too much.
Oh, I do remember. Okay. Yeah.
It does a thing where it visits the entire film from three different perspectives. And so it starts off from one perspective, and then the second act, it goes into someone else's perspective of those events and goes on and on that way. And it's really smart in the way that it reveals there is no truth, or rather that it's hard to get to the truth. Like, you kind of believe your own version of the
events. Everybody has their own truth.
Well, there is an objective truth, but it's like, it's so filtered through your perception is so filtered through your own worldview that like you will fight to the death, quite literally in this film, believing that your version is the true version. And it's almost not even your fault, because it's just like, that's the way it fucking happened in your mind. And it's totally not the way it happened, right? So it's fascinating for that. I think it's the set design was wonderful. Like, this world felt lived in and real. Like, I feel like I'm really, and I know what it's like to be in Dark Ages Europe, you know, and I definitely don't, but I feel like I do having watched The Last Duel.
So, I think part of that is 75% due to Matt Damon's mullet.
Yes. Yes. I love how the costume designer was like, how can we just get the audience to just instantly look at him and just go, fuck this guy.
What a knob.
And somebody in the back was like, cast Matt Damon. And they were like, shut up, Ben. We're being serious.
Shut up, Ben.
Let's give him a mullet. But yeah, I absolutely love The Last Duel.
So do you guys think that Dame Fleck are going to win their next writing Oscar?
It'll be nominated. I'm almost certain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's really, really good. Like you said, the concept of, you know, revisiting the same events over and over through three different people's perspectives is very, very intriguing. And the first time it kind of resets, my first thought was like, oh no, we're going to do this a lot. But every time they did it, they proved me wrong, because it was just fascinating to see just how things were different. But also they were, you know, each character goes their own way and has their own stories as well in the meantime. And then they also make a very brave choice to say, no, this is what really happened. They do have a final stamp on,
yeah,
you know,
a definitive answer,
a definitive, like, this is the truth. This is what really happened. But it's just like you said, it's just a very cool way to kind of tackle a story like this.
Yeah.
And the performances from the three leads are really great.
This is a true story. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yes, it is.
And I think Andy was more knowledgeable on the historical nature of it than me. And he was saying that it's famously a toss-up.
Has not been answered. It cannot at this point, because mm-hmm. you're talking like 11th century France or something like that, like way, way, way back. But yeah, no definitive answer as to what it is. But given the subject matter, and that's something Chris and I talked about a little bit, like, you couldn't make this movie today and not be a little more
bias.
Hey, this is what up. Mm-hmm. What's up?
Yeah.
And I love the stance that it's like, that is likely what happened, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
if you don't know what that is essentially, there are two knights that are like friends at a certain point.
One is a squire.
Yes. they both start off as squires.
They do.
Right? Well, they're both like competing squires. One has a lovely wife. She claims that the other one came into their fortress by himself and raped her. Uh-huh. And now they, you know, he's, you know, saying like, you raped my wife. No, I didn't. And like, they have a duel to see like, well, God will decide who is right. If my wife is lying or not.
It's a trial by combat, if you're familiar with Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So they might have that kind of, oh, okay. That's just, why didn't you say trial by combat?
Yeah, obviously.
And there's more at stake than that. It's engrossing, because if the husband loses, that means that she lied, decreed by God.
And they're going to burn her.
They're going to set her on fire, yeah. Right? So anyway, it's a definitely must watch. I know it's a little too late in theaters now, but if you got the money and you come across it on Apple TV or Amazon for $20 rental or something, I would show some support for it, because it's really worth your time.
Did it get booted from theaters already?
I'm sure, with all the screens they need for Eternals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I assume so. Speaking of which, I watched this movie today.
As did I. Not today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys both saw Eternals?
I saw Eternals yesterday.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And am I going to get invited to any of this shit?
You're always so... No offense, buddy, but you got a lot going on.
Technically, I did invite you to see The Last Duel, and you're like, oh, I'm busy. I got birthday plans.
You definitely did.
Happy birthday. I was just hamming it up for the show, you guys.
Yeah. We don't truck with that shit. Friends don't lie.
A little bit of artifice. I mean, just a bit. Just a bit. No, I didn't know about Eternals, though.
I love the fun conceit you're trying to get us to play into, where we just fuck you over.
I'm awesome. What a fun concept. We're the villains.
Everybody's the main character in their own story, right? So to me, you guys are the villains.
Andy's just alone in his house making us all dinner, and we never show up.
That actually did happen.
See what I did there?
Nice. Yeah, thank you. We were supposed to record, yesterday? And I spent a very long time cooking
Friday.
Friday. I spent a very long time cooking this wonderful meal for everybody. Steve was busy, and Chris was like, nah, I'm good.
I didn't come eat it once I knew we weren't recording. That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Well, in my defense, Andy, I saw it today just because I thought we were recording at like 1.
Uh-huh.
And then we're like, no, we're recording at 6. I was like, well, I don't know what to do for 4 hours. Guess I'll go see Eternals.
That was also on me. My girlfriend stayed the night and we were just hanging out doing, we carved pumpkins and stuff. We had a great day.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Well, next time I'm just going to text you like, hey, do you and your girlfriend want to go see Eternals with me?
Right. Well, I'm telling you all now, I'm going to see Ghostbusters Afterlife with my wife. And I would love it if you guys attended with us.
Come. When?
Whenever it comes out. I'm sure I always see it on Thursday night. I think that's a great, it's kind of like premiere early as possible, but also pretty under attended. So it's comfortable.
You guys want to do a movie marathon night where we watch the first two Ghostbusters before we,
Think we're going to be reviewing the first Ghostbusters for that week.
Most likely. Yeah.
You heard it here first.
I own it on Blu-ray. So not to brag. It's a steal.
I mean, I would love to watch a second one as well. Cause I, that's the one I've seen the least.
I would love to, Andrew. And if you're cooking dinner,
you have my proton pack.
Got you, boo. I also got leftovers of that. I made this amazing cheesy potato, spicy Italian sausage, bacon, corn.
You had me a potato.
Mix.
It's
super good.
It's a goulash, if you will.
Is that the butt piss stuff you made?
I told him, I was like, it looks like diarrhea, but it's like good diarrhea. It's like butt piss diarrhea.
Not one of those foods you take a photo of and everybody goes, boy.
But when they eat it, they're like, oh shit.
Yeah, and he's literally like, man, this tastes so good, but it looks like butt piss.
Ringing on my way, Andy.
I'll be there. You had me at butt.
So what did you think of Eternals? Because again, I watched it as well. And I guess we should set the stage if anybody's been under a rock. But this movie's been getting review bombed by probably people who'd never seen it. Assholes, right? But it's famously one of the worst Marvel movies ever made, at least according to bros, right? So that's the lens through which I viewed it when I walked in. I don't know if you did this, heard that buzz.
Yeah, I had heard. So here's the thing. I had heard that it was the worst reviewed Marvel film in a long time. Uh-huh. I heard it was very divisive, but I did not pick up on the lens that it was being review bombed by people that didn't see it, or that it was probably done by assholes for very specific reasons. So, so going into it, my mind was like, I'd hear this isn't that great, but sure. I want to see it. I want to, you know, it looks different. I want to see what Chloe Zhao can bring to Marvel movies. Nomadland director. Yeah. And I gotta say, man, I actually really enjoyed Eternals.
I did as well.
I think it's
like high mid-tier Marvel. It was nothing. Mm-hmm. I didn't even see it as a huge departure from what they normally do either. Like,
well, the thing that stood out to me, and again, I'm not going to really spoil anything, but the thing that stood out to me, the reasons why I liked it so much is A.
It's because Iron Man came back. And that was kind of a weird choice.
Yeah, he was like, I am Iron Man again.
I'm still Iron Man. Weird way to pop back in.
Where have I been this whole time? I just didn't want to marry Pepper Potts. My bad. I really thought that this movie is incredibly economical with its time, because it's got a huge, like, what is it, 10 Eternals? There's a huge cast.
There's
of
a lot
characters,
of them.
And you got to give them their own time. And for the most part, it's very economical, where they show you a person, and with it, by the time that scene ends, you know that who that character is. You basically know what their powers are. And these characters are fairly complex, too. A lot of them, like, they're not like these traditional, like, we have to save the world because the world needs a saving. A lot of them do have like issues. Like, some of them, like, I don't want to do this. I think we should do it this way. And you believe them. And it's not that they're necessarily coming from a place of evil per se. It's just a difference of opinion. And I think it's done really, really well. Someone was asking me what I thought about it on the way over here. And I said, well, I think it's the best X-Men movie I've seen in quite a long time.
Yeah.
Because it's that type of movie where they're like, here's a team of superpowered people that aren't the Avengers. And
they all have different abilities like X-Men.
And they all have different abilities. Yeah. And then the other thing that I really, really liked about the movie is I think the action's phenomenal. I really love the way the action's shot, how the different characters showcase their powers is really neat. The art style of how their powers kind of form through these like golden lines that kind of come out of their fists,
like,
or whatever
celestial
they use.
Energy. Yeah.
Yeah. I love,
that's not where I expected Chloe Zhao to shine. Just with her pedigree, wasn't like bombastic action films. Right. So,
right.
But I agree with you. It was really, really cleanly done. It wasn't like a Blue Beam in Sky or anything like that at any point. Mm-hmm.
Did she cast real life superheroes to make it seem more authentic?
She well, did.
I mean, Kit Harington.
It's Kit Harington, Richard Madden, Angelina
How
Jolie.
How did the Stark boys do? Were they good?
It's wonderful. It's funny because they both, and minor spoiler, but they're both in love with a character named Cersei.
Nice.
Yes. So, it's a little distracting.
For Game of Thrones. I mean, it's not their fault. They're not going to change the comic book that was written 30 years ago to suit the new Game of Thrones fandom, you know?
Oh.
But it's amazing because, so Kit Harington and Gemma Chan play Cersei, right?
Yes.
Kit Harington and Gemma Chan have off the charts chemistry.
I agree.
Oh my God. I felt so bad for Richard Madden because you really kind of get introduced to that.
And you're like, get out of here, douchebag.
Yeah. And you're like, whoa, this couple's great. I love them together. And then he
put
shows
the Matt
up,
Damon mullet on him.
What? Dude, you don't have a chance. Just fly away. You don't have a chance.
Much like Millie Bobby, I haven't seen Kit Harington in a non Game of Thrones role that I was like, oh shit. Except I take that back. No, the 7 Days in Hell, the tennis thing, so good. But he was playing an idiot in that. So he's like charming in this.
He's really good.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And actually, I won't say that.
Yeah. Don't get too spoilers.
I won't say that. Well, I was just going to say a minor hint thing. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to do that.
Don't even do it. We'll do that.
I know nothing. And I would like to continue it to be that way.
Yes.
No risk there, Andy.
No.
No,
I get it.
One day I would love to do like a spoiler cast with this movie just because I do want to talk about it.
We could have reviewed it because it's really good.
We talked about making this episode the Eternals episode. But we, you know, the reviews started coming in and we're like, maybe no one's going to see it.
First off, our movie reviews that are like brand new films don't do that well on our listener base. Mm-hmm. So we assume people have
seen it.
Didn't go watch it.
Right.
But coupled with our fear that it was going to completely bomb, we were like, eh. But I agree with you. I think and I'll just say this and be quiet. I think you touched on it, but there is no real villain in this film. And what I mean by that is, they all have really good motivations for doing what they're doing and thinking mm-hmm. the way that they're thinking. In fact, it could be argued that our quote unquote protagonists are the assholes, which those are the kinds of stories I love. It's why I've always loved Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was really impressed by the emotional maturity of this comic book movie in that sense. Yeah.
There's a lot of deep concepts that are happening in the movie that a lot of Marvel, like you're not getting an Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I don't want them to put that in Ant-Man and the Wasp, but I think that's where that's the biggest separation between your typical MCU movie and this movie is I feel like this movie is a little bit more weighty in what they're discussing.
Well, the reason I think it got review bombed, and I know I said I'd shut up, but I just can't help myself.
Has the first ever openly gay sex scene in a Disney film, right?
Well, there is the first ever sex scene.
But it's not a gay sex scene.
The first ever.
Oh, openly, really? What?
No, it's
first
just a
ever
sex scene.
Openly.
It's just a sex scene?
Yeah.
Why do people give a fuck?
It's not. There's also a gay couple.
Oh, okay.
And there's also a deaf person. And there's also a lot of like mental illness.
So it's
and
too so, woke is what you're
it's
saying.
It's not though. It's like really I was talking not. To an ignorant.
I mean, I meant that too woke in giant air quotes.
From their perspective. Like, yes.
Fuck you.
But what's so funny to me, I was talking to this guy who's really ignorant and I had to stop because he's like, he's trying to be like, make an allowance for it. Right. He's like, I understand what they're trying to do, but it's like, why is they got to be deaf? Like, what does that serve in the plot? And I was like, I looked at him and I was like, it doesn't. It's just some people are deaf. What the fuck is wrong with you? There is no plot to that other than like, deaf that is a exist. Thing that happens. Right. Like, I was just mind blown.
Right.
Like, and your tiny brain cannot conceive that maybe a person who is deaf would like to see themselves in a superhero once. Do you know what I mean? Like it doesn't change anything. Everything's still the same.
That dude
just happens to be gay. Right. What the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, how does that bother you?
What privilege is. You are a living embodiment of privilege.
I really like Black Panther, but they never even brought up that he was black.
Right.
But yeah, as I was watching the movie and I got out, I tweeted something like, the Eternals is great. Why was there so much fuss about this not being a good movie? And then that's when I kind of started looking into it and realized, oh, it's a bunch of neckbeards and magatars who were like, oh, women can't be the main character of a movie. Women can't direct movies. There can't be a gay man who has adopted a child. How dare they?
Oh.
And yeah, it's just like,
wait. Which one's...
I will not tell you which one is the gay one.
Okay. Is it Angelina Jolie?
You just have to watch the movie, friend. Yeah, it's good. I think you'll like it. I think you'll have an interesting take on it. She's so
okay.
Wonderful.
So how do they hang? How did it stack up to Shang-Chi? The other
I never saw Shang-Chi.
Marvel film that came out this year.
I think this one I edge out above Shang-Chi just because, I mean, you and I saw it together.
Shang-Chi was predictable as hell.
But it was, Shang-Chi was a lot of fun, but then the last third, I was like, I'm out. This doesn't connect with me at all.
Big same.
I think it's the opposite with this.
Okay.
They really stuck the landing.
Yeah, the landing stuck. The beginning's a little rough, but like, it's once it kind of gets into its groove, it's in it.
Well, as a non like super comic book fan, there's a lot to digest early on in this movie. Mm-hmm. Because these are my opinion. Sorry if I'm offending anybody. These are C-list Marvel characters that they're dealing with in this phase.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. So, Icarus.
By the way, this is not a spoiler.
That is a character.
You can edit this out. Mark it if you want to. I don't think it's a spoiler because it's like Googleable comic book canon that I had to find out after the movie. But it's bizarre to me what this is doing to my head canon with the MCU. Right. So. Like,
oh, interesting.
Did you know this?
Implied. Yeah.
No, I mean, I talked to my comic book nerd friends who didn't see Eternals yet, and they're like, yeah, everybody knows that. He's a.
Oh,
and I was like, no, everyone doesn't know that. What is that? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I didn't know
and
that.
And that actually makes
sense. I thought he was a.
I'm lost.
Exactly. Me too, buddy.
I want to do more movies that you guys have seen and I haven't.
And we try to explain them.
This is fun.
Well, if we weren't so spoiler averse, that would be a fun game.
Right? We should have done a Goonies.
We did. We were like, Andy, what do you think Goonies is about?
Right. But that you weren't like, Andy, what do you think Eternals about? And I'd be like, I would have gone hard.
Right? But we don't want that.
We didn't get that chance.
Listener, become a patron and you can hear us interview Andy before he watched Goonies and after he watched Goonies.
That's true.
It's a hoot.
Patreon plug. Anyway, I'm sorry for chiming in so much. I really like that movie as well.
I think that was good.
So, Chris, what have you been streaming?
Cast is great.
Well, I watched Eternals in The Last Duel.
Yeah. What'd you think?
They were cool. I watched some other things. I'm going to piggyback off Andy's late 2010 comedy run starring Jason Sudeikis. And I watched We're the Millers with my wife, which we've talked about ad nauseum on this show because that movie's very special to me. But I hadn't watched it in a while, and she hadn't seen it in a long time. And that movie really holds up. It's really funny. Sam Richardson's in it. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, because now I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
He's like an airport security guard, and he's really funny doing Sam Richardson-y things.
Nice.
Like when the goofy kid walks up, he's like, full body search. You know, it's just funny. But that movie just, even though some of the jokes are inappropriate and stuff now, it's really fucking funny. There's a line where Jason Sudeikis is trying to like give the kid a pep talk about kissing girls. And have you seen the movie recently or do you remember much about it? Mm. Well, it's just a throw. It won't be funny to you then, but it's just really off the wall.
You claim to know me.
He just looks at him and he's like, you were going to suck that guy's dick 9 hours ago. Why don't you want to kiss a girl? And then his kid's really offended. Like, come on, man. It's really fucking funny. I love this movie.
Irreverent. Will Poulter, who was recently inducted into the MCU.
That's right? Who I'm talking about, right? Like eyebrows kid. It's super handsome now.
Yeah.
I remember hearing him spit TLC lyrics like it was yesterday, right? Anyway, that movie still holds up. Go check it out.
He is playing Adam Warlock.
It's a big character.
It's not out yet.
Guardians 3.
No, correct.
Okay.
But it's a big
role. I know Adam Warlock. Yeah, I didn't know they had cast him as that.
He's joined the MCU bandwagon. So I watched a bunch of things that I really love, and I'm really excited to tell you guys about it. And two of them you can go home and watch immediately after we record this, and I suggest you do. One of them is called Scenes from a Marriage. Have you guys heard about this?
I've heard about it.
So this is a mini-series with Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac. It went viral when Oscar Isaac was all sexy with her on the red carpet. I don't know if you saw that video going around on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this is an adaptation of an Ingmar Bergman film. And it's a television drama miniseries which reexamines the original iconic deception of love. Original meaning Ingmar Bergman's version, depiction of love, hatred, desire, monogamy, marriage, and divorce through the lens of a contemporary American couple played by Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain. So it's 5 episodes on HBO Max. And this is just really, really top tier actors acting. Like I'm talking whole scenes, whole episodes of just the two of them talking, walking from room to room. This is the show, right? It might be a little too close to home for Steve, right? For you, having gone through what you've gone through the past few years. I know that having split up from my son's mother and being married now, like this really fucked me up. Like I watched two episodes. I woke up, this was yesterday when I woke up from it, and I was just in a daze walking around the house. Like, and my wife's like, what's wrong with you? And I even told her, I was like, look, I watched that fucking shit you don't watch, like with artistic stuff. I've been thinking a lot and just, it's not about you, and, you know? And she's like, oh, okay. And
I couldn't tell if it was actually good or not.
And Andy, you'll love it because this is the Before trilogy on cocaine, right? Like
cocaine.
It's not as, there's not as much like pathos.
That's what I'm saying, guys. Linklater went from the Before trilogy to fucking School of Rock. That's, this guy is,
that's why School of Rock is so good. It's like, it's almost like you look at that and you go, oh, that's why it's so good. This is okay to love. But Scenes from a Marriage, like I said, I'm only two episodes in, and it deals with some heavy stuff, but it's powerhouse performances, really cool conceit. I beg of you to watch it to let me know like what you think of it, if you can make it through it. I understand if it hits.
So how long is it? It's a mini series, right?
Right. 5 hour long episodes.
Okay.
And I've only seen the first two, but I am floored by, the level of artifice in it. And it's got a lot of interesting things to say about modern relationships. And, you know, he's an intellectual, philosophy professor, I believe, at Tufts University, and she's like this powerhouse VP at a tech corporation. So she's the provider, and they have struggles about like keeping the sex passionate and you know, staying busy in their professional lives. And what I like about it is they're both very intellectual, and so they talk about their feelings a lot. That's not their problem. Like it's not like your classic, oh, isn't it tough to talk to your wife about your feelings? Absolutely not. Like these they go to therapists, like, so it's closer to the way me and my wife are. And like we can actually sit and talk about deep things for hours at a time, but we still
have, doesn't necessarily fix it.
Exactly. Actually, yeah. Exactly. It's just like you use really fucking smart words for the fact that you're miserable. And other than that, menagerie. There's no difference. Yeah. Milieu, whatever. Anyway, milieu. It's like, be like if I was married to Phil. Like,
Nietzsche. Okay,
we still got to worry. This isn't really my Nietzsche. So that's Scenes from Marriage on HBO Max. I highly recommend you check that out. I also, if you want to dumb it down a little bit, but not a lot, there's a new movie that just dropped on Netflix called The Harder They Fall. Have you heard of this?
That's the Idris Elba Western, right?
It is. So when an outlaw discovers his enemy is being released from prison, he reunites his gang to seek revenge in this Western. It's written and directed by James Samuel, and it stars Jonathan Majors and Zazie Beetz. Is that how you pronounce that?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
I have no clue who.
She's Zazie awesome. Beetz?
No clue.
This movie
sounds like a fancy set of headphones.
It absolutely fucking floored me. This movie is so good. You guys have to watch it tonight. It's got Damon Wayans Jr., by the way.
Nice.
But I had this really cool experience with this. It's so stylized. It's an awesome Western, but it's a Western where all of the characters are black. Right. And there is a town of white people called Maysville, which is hilarious because we live in Kentucky.
Nice.
And it's just when it pops up, it says Maysville, the white town. I burst out laughing. But this movie is fucking so much fun. It's so brilliant. It's very stylized. Like there's a lot of Quentin Tarantino in it for me, like just hyper violence. That's not squeamishly done at all. It's just kind of funny. But also there's a lot of heart to it. So I'm watching this movie and I had this phenomenal experience where they're about to reveal the main villain and I'm dumb a little bit. So that's, you got to know that going into this. But also I had done no research into this film other than everybody was tripping out about it on Twitter. And so it kind of reveals half of his face and a little bit of his dialogue. And this particular actor is very good at different accents. So I wasn't a giveaway yet. And I literally thought to myself, damn, they should have gotten Idris Elba to play that because that would be fucking perfect. And then he steps into the light and it's fucking Idris Elba. And I'm like, yes. So then it happened again. All the way through this movie, I'm like, oh my God, Regina King's in it. This is amazing. Holy shit. Why is Lakeith Stanfield not in this movie? That's the only piece they're missing. And then fucking Lakeith Stanfield walks up as a major character. And I'm like, yes. I had so much fun watching this movie. I just watched it earlier today. It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes, never gets slow at all. It had some genuine surprises. But there's these like lengthy actors chewing scenery monologues followed by extreme hyperviolence. Like that's how it's Tarantino-esque to me. And I love that shit. Just like, let it build. Yes, there it is. Super creative. If you like Westerns, watch it. Even if you don't, I think you'll absolutely adore this movie. And it's called Harder They Fall, The Harder They Fall, rather. And it is available on Netflix. And then finally, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Ooh.
I watched a movie. And let me just say this going in. I think that...
Get ready to take your shots, guys. You're going to take a lot of shots this episode.
I think you are not going to trust me about this movie. And I think that that's a shame because I do have a certain amount. I'm famous for a certain amount of Kristen Stewart bias. However, so I went to see
what you
I went to see Spencer, the newest Kristen Stewart film in theaters a couple of days ago. It's directed by Pablo Larraín and written by Stephen Knight. And it stars Kristen Stewart, Timothy Spall. Yes. I'm talking Peter Pettigrew himself is in this movie.
Yeah.
It also has Sean Harris in it, which I was super surprised and giggly about. So this movie obviously is about Princess Diana during her Christmas holidays with the royal family at the Sedgringham Estate in Norfolk, England. And she decides to leave her marriage to Prince Charles. So let me set the scene for you guys here. I'm by myself in this movie. Nobody wanted me to go, wanted to go see it with me.
I wanted to see it with you.
I don't believe you. You weren't there. I packed my own snacks in sandwich baggies. I'm alone. There's a bunch of women in my row and I just feel out of place and strange being there. I don't know why. But that was the perfect way to see this movie because I was kind of melancholy and lonely. I sat and watched the credits afterward for a good 20 minutes until the lights came up and they were like, hey, get the fuck out of here, creep with the sandwich bags. And then I drove home in silence just thinking about this film. I think I can say with no hyperbole that this movie is a masterpiece. I very much doubt that anything will top it for my favorite movie of the year. If I'm being honest with myself about how profoundly it affected me, I mean, I was shattered. I was just a blubbering mess. And for no explicable reason, obviously it's a little bit cheating because I know what later happens to Princess Diana. Mm-hmm. Right. And also I want to set this stage. I don't know how you guys feel. This was a huge part of my life. I was a small child when Princess Diana was super famous.
Oh yeah.
But it was, I was inundated with it. My mom was obsessed with her. We had coffee table books with all these photographs of her. She thought she was the sweetest, most wonderful angel to ever walk the earth. And when Princess Diana died, my mom was destroyed. She wept for days. And my mom was a sensitive lady. And she bought that, and I was talking to my wife about this. She had no memory of this, that Elton John album.
Was a tribute. Wind Beneath My Wings? Is it that?
I don't remember what it was called. I just remember in my Chevy Astro van on the way to school singing all the time, like, your candle's blown out long before your legend.
Yes. Oh, that's that one. Yes.
Candle in the Wind.
Yeah.
Candle in the Wind. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
And
yes.
I just fucking, that, those were bangers. And so I'm literally just destroyed by the context of all that. But Kristen Stewart's performance in this film, and this is where you guys are not going to trust me, it is breathtaking. She captured this mythological figure and rose to the angelic nature of her mythos, but at the same time made her so human. And I'm just watching this movie, and this is almost a horror film. Like, make no mistake, like, this isn't like, oh, it's... this is The Crown, or like, isn't this going to be fun? The royal family's so silly. Like, this is a terrifying movie because she is so racked with anxiety over all of the paparazzi, but the suffocating nature of her royal status and all of the stupid fucking, what's the word? Phil, I need your help here. Traditions. And there's another word for tradition.
Pomp and circumstance, ceremony.
Yeah, all that stuff. Not quite what I was searching for. I'm sure Phil will tweet me, but it's like she walks into this. They have all these stupid little traditions and ceremonies, like, oh, you have to weigh yourself before Christmas, and then I can't believe you arrived after the Queen and
customs.
Yeah, customs, that works. Yeah, maybe that is the word. It's just I'm never gonna feel like I found the right one. And it's so suffocating, like watching this woman like rail against it in the slightest ways. And they see her as this horrible transgressor. Like they have all of her dresses laid out. This is for breakfast. This is for tea. This is for lunch. This is for Boxing Day lunch. This is for Christmas breakfast. And if she wears like the dinner dress at lunch, everyone in the room just stops talking and you see glasses tink and they all just turn their heads and look at her like this fucking cunt. You know, so like
is this what went down with Meghan Markle?
Sure. Add a nice sprinkle of racism to it and yeah. You'll probably get that.
Yeah. Decades later. I mean, this is that's actually Princess Diana's youngest son, I think. That's married
Harry.
To
yeah.
Yeah, Harry.
It
seems timely, right?
With for
her,
sure.
Her having just left the royal family.
For sure. And this is obviously there's a lot of proof probably, but however you want to look at it, it is a well-known viewpoint that Princess Diana was actually murdered by the royal family. Right. And this movie, I think, leans heavily into that interpretation of events just by the dark nature of the way some people treat her. Specifically Peter Pettigrew.
Damn you, Wormtail.
I know. I cannot speak highly enough of this movie. She does such a good job. I mean, she's a wonderful mother and there's so much empathy for it has nothing to do with, in my mind, it had nothing to do with the royal nature of it. It was just like, I can identify, I'm not a woman and I'm not royal, but I can identify with just being absolutely suffocated with where I'm at in life and feeling no way out of it. And, I was just, like I said, it took me a couple days to recover from watching this thing. It is powerful shit. And again, I know I'm the K-Stew guy. Everybody knew I was going to say this.
Take your drinks.
This dude has a specific type of film he makes. He made Jackie.
Yes. The director of Jackie.
Interesting. Did you guys see Jackie?
No, but I heard it was really good.
Yeah, by the way, I've also been a huge Stephen Knight stan for quite some time. This is the guy that wrote Locke, the Tom Hardy film.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the reason that I watched.
I was going to say, his name sounded super familiar.
Yeah. That guy's the reason that I watched the Taboo show with Tom Hardy as well. Just for like he wrote a lot of episodes of Peaky Blinders.
He writes C. You love that show.
I was super looking forward to Taboo.
Yes,
it sucked. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to change the subject.
No, you're good. It's still relevant. But yeah, I mean, you guys have to go see this movie. It's phenomenal. I think Andy's gonna love it. I know Steve will.
I want to. I like K-Stew too. I'm not the massive fan that you are, but I also recognize her as an underappreciated gem of an actress.
Yeah, and it's not just that. Like, I'm not going to wax poetic on my love of. I adore her.
Hey, man, I have one rule in this show, and that is you wax as much as you
want. Yes, wax, bro.
Iambic pentameter only, though. Go.
Okay. No, I can't do that. I can't do that off the. I can't spit that kind of flow.
I love K-Stew so much, it hurts.
You know, there's certain celebrities, performers, where you love all their work, and then you see them in an interview, and you're like, it's kind of a tool, or whatever, right? Every time I see K-Stew, she's so, and I don't fucking know her, like, right? I don't, but I get the sense, and she's just so down to earth now. Like, she's just so real, and she's like, shut the fuck up, I got somewhere to be, this is awkward, and that's what I love about her, right? And I get the same vibe from Keanu Reeves, but he's just much more, he has a different approach, right? He's just like, I don't want to talk. I'm really nice, though, right? And it's just everybody's got their own version of that.
He's
that
also
really
got like 30 years on her.
Exactly, so right?
Got more practice with it.
But yeah, it's just, I just love the gal. And I think she's extremely talented. She seems like a beautiful person. I did see her once. I've told that story, right? Mm-hmm. Very, very hard for me to
tell it again, please.
No, it was in New York. She walked by. I sat there and took it and ignored it. Didn't want to be that guy chasing her down the street, right? And I like met eyes with a native New Yorker, and they looked at me and kind of shook their head slightly, like, don't do it. Don't do it, man. And I was like, all right, that's fair. Keep eating my lunch. Yeah, so that's Spencer.
A couple of our listeners were really worried about you this week because she got engaged this week, and they like
messaged good for her.
Like, hey, is Chris okay? Does he know? Does he know what happened with K-Stew?
Good for her. I'm a married man too, and you know, it just wasn't meant to be. That's fine. I can just appreciate from afar the wonder that is K-Stew. But I feel a bit vindicated. Not that I was the first, but I've been speaking her praises for quite some years now, as you guys know. And now the world is torn asunder by all these shoe-in for best actress of the year at the Oscars talks.
I'm super happy for her and Robert Pattinson, because both of them had been like mired for years, like, oh, they can't act because the Twilight, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't like those movies either, right? But, I mean, you'd be a fool to not see the movies that they've both chosen, but also the caliber of acting that they've done in those movies post-Twilight. You can't say that they're not talented people who are, like, at the peak of their craft currently, you know?
Sure. I think they did it exactly the right way. Like, you get your big break, you've got enough money to where you never have to work again,
yeah.
And you've got the kind of name where you can do whatever you want. And so what you choose to do is bolster scripts that probably wouldn't get made without your name.
Yep.
And bring talented filmmakers to the forefront and just have a good time and really believe in what you do. Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe does the same
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Elijah Wood. Same way.
Absolutely.
That motherfucker does some really weird shit and I love him for it. Really obscure horror films that I don't even watch most of them. I don't even know they exist.
Nicolas Cage.
There you go. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's just weird.
Well, he also, I think he also has some debt problems, but
for sure.
But he's made some like really weird movies thanks to his name. So
yeah. There's been an essence the last few years. Yeah. He's been doing a Robert Pig Pattinson.
Was awesome.
Yeah. And Mandy. That other one I hadn't even seen yet. I saw the Blu-ray on sale at the Best Buy the other day, but it's a weird one. But anyhoozle, yeah, there's quite a few of them that choose to do that, and I really, really, really respect that. And Case Stu, gosh darn it.
She done it again.
I just like that woman. I just got Personal Shopper, the Criterion Collection Blu-ray. I'm really, really excited to visit
that. Oh, I didn't know that movie was on a Criterion level, damn.
Yeah, that and Clouds of Sils Maria, her other film where she won the Caesar Award. She's the only American actor to ever do that, by the way. No big deal.
No big deal. Just K2 being K2.
Penny Hoozle. I don't have a burner account of just K2 fan facts on Twitter.
Sounds
but
like someone who would.
You are the steward of K2.
That's a really good Twitter handle, Kristen Stewart. Right. Shit.
Oh, no. Now he has to make it.
Oh, no. I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, no, Andy. It's already taken. Weird.
Oh, I have the login info. What a good hacker I am. So that's everything that I've been watching this week. And I think that about brings this episode to a close. Is that correct?
Yeah. What do we call it if it's the three of us just creaming it?
No, yeah. What is that?
I mean, we weren't like drinking. I had a couple beers, but.
You weren't like really trying that hard.
Right. Yeah. But
let me end with this. I do want to read this email we got. We got an email from longtime listener and patron Carmelita. And it
whoop,
goes.
Whoop. I believe we have to pronounce it Carmelita.
Carmelita.
Yeah.
Subject line: it's been too long. Ellipses, which I appreciate. That was very intriguing.
Dramatic wrote pause.
Me in. I was like, oh, has it? Hey guys, it's been a while, so I thought I'd drop you a line to say how much I've been enjoying the podcast. It's been an absolute joy to have new episodes every week.
Aww.
I was catching up today and finally listened to your favorite horror movies episode. It was excellent. It's so good to hear Signs get some love and all the other great picks y'all discussed.
Hell yeah. Signs, baby.
Thanks for continuing to be your awesome selves and sharing your engaging conversations with us. P.S. Chris has nothing to worry about and is definitely my favorite of the three of you.
Chris just added that part.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I was reading too fast. You'll get no judginess from me about your takes on horror movies. I love elevated horror, too. Smiley face. Your dedicated listener, Carmelita.
Special shout out to Carmelita. She was a Patreon subscriber before it was cool.
Yeah.
She actually was a subscriber before we had a Patreon. It was back when we tried the PayPal thing and then summarily just died because I lost the house that we were recording from. And, yeah, she has been supporting us from way, way back.
Thick and thin and thick again.
And I'm not being funny. It means the world to us. In a weird way, this show would not exist without Carmelita. I think in a very direct way, because she was one of the early, like, hey, people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Before 100%. We kind of actually blew up a little bit from the Stranger Things phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It was just like, should we even do this? And she carried us through until we got some Canadian news offers that I ruined.
And she's still here all these years later after we, you know, rebooted the show two or three times at this point.
That's fucking awesome. Thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, thank you. You know not what you do. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I am Steve.
Happy streaming.
Hold up. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.